And welcome back to the Eye on College Football podcast here on CBSSports.com. We are rolling along with our CBSSports.com mid-season package. All throughout the site all week, we have been looking back at what we've seen in the 7 weeks, as well as looking ahead. We've got our All-American team, our Halfway Heisman, our mid-season awards, and of course, sort of our chair of the mid-season committee. It is the honorable senior college football columnist Dennis Dodd. Dennis, joining us on the podcast. Thank you so much, of course, for joining us for this mid-season edition of the Doddcast. I want to start with the 1 and 1A. You call Mariota and Johnny Manziel as 1 and 1A for sort of the halfway Heisman. And in our offensive player of the year voting on the 9-man panel, it was 5-4 Mariota over Manziel, with you in the camp of the Aggies quarterback. So let's start out. Yeah, I want to hear your case for each guy.
I do think they're 1 and 1A. I mean, I think they're about even right now. And I was at Mariota, which was a game for the ages, at least for him, Saturday at Washington. But I don't think you can discount what Manziel did after taking a week off on the bye week. They don't win that game at Ole Miss without him. It's as simple as that. I think Oregon, being what Oregon is, beats Washington without Marcus Mariota, you know, say if it's someone else. But I thought that was one of Manziel's singular performances. He went 300-100 for the fourth time in his career, which, as Bruce Feldman pointed out, is an FBS record.
To do that four times?
I didn't realize that. He'd done it four times. And people are tearing me up on Twitter for even putting him on there. Have you watched the guy play? I mean, because he didn't have a touchdown pass, that's a reason to drop him. I mean, using that logic, Sean Mannion should have the trophy lined up. So the masses are not having a good week.
No. Johnny Manziel, you, in that Ole Miss game, the one thing you heard reviewing some of the postgame quotes from the players, every single Texas A&M player in some way mentioned the fact that they had confidence, even though they were down 38-31 to Ole Miss on the road in Oxford in the middle of the fourth quarter. They all came out and told reporters, you know, we had Johnny Manziel. There was never a doubt. And that kind of confidence that he inspires to the rest of his team, in my mind, if we're evaluating the player, that is an intangible that I care about, not so much whether or not he's hanging out with Drake in the offseason.
Right. No, totally. And, that all went away for me at the Alabama game, when I turned to somebody next to me and said, you know, I don't care about that other stuff now. You know, I care about what he's doing, which, you know, again, that game was the best of his career in a loss against, the defending two-time national champions. He surgically picked them apart, if not for a couple of turnovers, which I'm not dismissing. Then they win the game. So, yeah, I'm all about performances right now. I hope these guys keep going. And it's really, as the Heisman race progresses, you know, it's, boy, really not surprising. It's all about quarterbacks at this point.
You were in Seattle at Husky Stadium to watch Marcus Mariota. And the thing that stood out to me, and I'll go ahead and just sort of turn it over to you, because I'd love to hear from someone who saw it in person. And you, I think you even wrote in your column, you need to see him in person to really appreciate it. But it seems like every single time Washington got a little bit of hope, I mean, Mariota just led a scoring drive almost right after it to completely deflate and keep the crowd out of that game. And just the matter in which the Ducks went about business on Saturday, very impressive. What'd you see from Mariota?
Yeah, that's exactly right. There were about three of those instances in the second half where he did that, where, you know, Oregon just answered right back. Early in the third quarter, he drops a 65-yard touchdown pass down the chute to Josh Huff, where, you know, we didn't even know Josh Huff was back in the game. He had to be carried off the field by his teammates, and it looked like he was out for the game. They had to take him to get an X-ray in the stadium. And he comes back, you know, Lazarus-like, and catches a touchdown pass. He seems to have that chip in his brain, just no pun intended, just like Johnny Manziel, where he knows how to take off out of the pocket efficiently, not recklessly. He doesn't turn the ball over. He had 88 yards rushing, 454 yards in total offense. And you put all that in the package that's 6'4" and 220 with speed. It's pretty special. People seem to be turning on to him this week. You know, this is not anything new that we who have covered the sport know about and have seen him play. It's just, I think it's the West Coast thing a little bit. But he's played the same amount of games as Johnny Manziel, 19. He's thrown at least one touchdown pass in every game he's played. And it's just amazing to me. I think we're looking, with the addition of him, I think it's the best Oregon's ever been. Now, how that translates to the rest of the season, I don't know. But if you're into such things as the blur offense and Chip Kelly and the rapid ascension of this program, we're probably looking at the best Oregon's ever been.
And again, not a surprise to those of you who are close, and few people know better than David Shaw, who at Pac-12 Media Days this summer said he is, talking about Marcus Mariota, the most complete quarterback in the Pac-12. And from what we've seen, I think you can also argue, outside of Manziel, the two of them are just on another level above everyone else.
Yeah, I think so. I really do. I mentioned Sean Mannion, who's 45 minutes away at Oregon State, who has done some great things since losing to Eastern Michigan. You know, we can talk about Taj Boyd and Jameis Winston, and I whoever wins that game will shoot up the list, you would think, after Saturday. But these guys are, you know, I think the difference is, Chip, is that I think Mariota's NFL ready. I think Manziel will play in the NFL. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I can see greatness for Mariota in the NFL because of his height and his arm strength and his speed and his mobility. I think Manziel will play in the NFL. I don't know if he'll be a starting quarterback or have a 15-year career, but, you know, you can kind of see those things in Mariota. But it's great that we have him while we have him. I mean, they're both going to be gone after, eight more games for each. You know, that's 27 games in 2 years.
Let's enjoy it while we've got it.
Yeah.
How badly do you think Chip Kelly would love to draft Marcus Mariota?
Boy, that would be the perfect fit for that offense, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Again, who knows how it's going to fit. I honestly haven't even checked, but I think he's rated fairly high. And it depends on need. You know, someone's not going to need a defensive end like Jadeveon Clowney, or who knows where his career is going the rest of the season. But, you know, they're always going to need quarterbacks, and I'd have to think that Mariota is up there with the top guys on the list, along with Bridgewater.
Our CBSSports.com midseason coach of the year will be Art Briles, who is also your selection. So not only Briles, but I'd like to hear, you know, Bruce nominated Curtis Johnson from Tulane, mm-hmm. certainly the Green mm-hmm. Wave out to a 3-0 start. Gary Pinkel picked up a couple of votes, Al Golden. This is sort of I felt very good about the Briles pick as sort of our general consensus, particularly when you think about this as a culmination of the last couple of years. What else about Briles sort of has you leaning that way for midseason coach of the year?
Yeah, you're right. It is kind of a high point in that even when I did my story on Baylor a couple of weeks ago, they hadn't reached the lofty heights of where they are now, which is number 12 in the country, the highest ranking since 1991. He's done it the old-fashioned way. Native Texan, really a veteran guy, 57 years old, came up through Texas high schools, was at Houston, has a hand in, you know, figure this out at age 57, has helped develop Case Keenum, an NCAA all-time leading passing leader. Who was the other guy there?
Robert Griffin? Oh, no, the other guy at Houston. Before
I can't remember now, but it was, and he was significant. Robert Griffin, a Heisman Trophy winner, Baylor's all-time leading passing single-season leader, Nick Florence last year, and now Bryce Petty, who was on track, by the way, to shatter Russell Wilson's single-season pass efficiency record. And as I point out in my piece this week, he could go to sleep for the next 6 weeks and probably break it. He's up at 230.59. I don't think Bryce Petty's going to have many slumps going down the stretch unless he starts throwing a bunch of interceptions. And so that's part of his legacy. So he's recruited. He doesn't recruit five-star guys. I don't think he doesn't. It's just not there's not that many accessible for Baylor, and he recruits to his system like a lot of coaches. He doesn't recruit out of a book or a list, and he's developed pros. I think that's one of the biggest things. People seem to use that label as a sign of legitimacy for up-and-coming programs. Well, obviously, there's RG3. He's got Cyril Richardson, a massive 345-pound guard who's going to play in the NFL. Ahmad Dixon, a safety. I think Bryce Petty has stamped his ticket to be in there somewhere. He's already got a bunch of receivers in the NFL, Terrence Wright. And I think Bryce Petty's going to be in there, and Lake Seastern is going to have a place in the NFL someday. So especially with the kind of offense he's coming from and where the NFL is going with offense. So, you know, I don't want to call it a career achievement award because I think there's a lot more Baylor can do, but, and I can't say no one really, you know, didn't expect this given their early schedule, but it's the way they did it, the scorched earth policy. And the defense has been pretty good. And then walking into Kansas State and having to come from behind, so they've done that in the fourth quarter. They've done just about everything they need to do this under Art Briles.
I would also add Tevin Reese to your list of future NFL players.
Tevin Reese.
Yeah, wide
absolutely
receiver. Yeah,
they're leading pass catcher this year. You're right.
Very, very impressive. Also, they've got a new stadium in the works. I mean, things are just going up, up, up for Baylor. What does the future hold for Missouri? Because, like I mentioned, Gary Pinkel picked up a couple of nominations from our panel for midseason coach of the year before he fell second to Briles. And we are very, very impressed with Missouri's start. It's the CBSSports.com midseason surprise for the surprise team. But what can we expect moving forward as the SEC schedule continues to open up? And James Franklin, depending on who you think as far as diagnosis on his return, he's out at least the next handful of games.
Yeah, 3 to 5 weeks at least, if not the entire season. It's typical Missouri. It's almost like, you know, one of the greatest high points in their history. You know, they still lose. They lose their starting quarterback with a chance to win the SEC East. I mean, it's the case still holds. The road to the SEC East in year two of their membership in the conference runs through Columbia, Missouri. They get Florida and South Carolina in the next 2 weeks. So I'm sure the coaching staff is preaching, look, no excuses. We got this all in our hands right now. We can do this. We've proved ourselves, and let's go forward. Now, Matty Mock, look, it's a couple of notches below James Franklin.
A couple, yes, that's generous.
Yeah, I think we all saw with James Franklin how good Missouri is with a healthy James Franklin. He wasn't last year, and they were 5-7. Simple as that. But I think what they'll do is, you know, these next 2 weeks is really try to take the game out of Matty Mock's hands. They'll try to establish a running game, easier said than done, against the number two defense in the country, Florida. Establish a short passing game, and then maybe take their shots. But look, Florida's coming into Missouri where their offense is nothing special. I mean, they were held to 6 points by what was at the time a suspect LSU defense. It looks like LSU defense is rounding into shape. So, you know, I think that's the message well spread, but it doesn't look good. But, you know, it didn't look good coming into the season. Let's not forget Gary Pinkel was on the hot seat. Was supposed to be one of those first guys fired. And, you know, I thought the key to their season before beating Georgia was winning on the road in Indiana, dominating on the road in Indiana, and a game going in that looked up to me like a toss-up, and then dominating at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt was never in that game, and then sealing the deal at Georgia. A lot of people thought Missouri could win. I thought they could win. I just couldn't pull the trigger on picking them to my discredit. But they did it. And they did it without their starting quarterback for a significant amount of time. So you have to give them credit. There are no excuses. But yeah, but Georgia was injured. Missouri has turned some sort of corner in right. the SEC a year and a half after joining it.
The defensive line, no Sheldon Richardson, not really a problem. Very impressed with the way they're playing. Michael yep. Sam, one of the best defensive ends in the SEC right now, a conference loaded with defensive linemen. All right, we'll send you out of here on this. We are looking ahead, really game of the weekend, Clemson, Florida State, Jameis Winston, Taj Boyd. One of these teams moves into the spot of being the ACC's front runner for a BCS yep. bid, as well as stays in the BCS title race. Heisman implications, as you mentioned earlier. Do you have any early feeling on the way this might go?
I've liked Clemson since the beginning of the season. It's a revenge game for last year at FSU, where Clemson was kind of run out of the building early. Clemson has already beaten Georgia at home. They get FSU at home with everything on the line. FSU's had a week off. I think that plays to their advantage. But I just like Taj Boyd making plays with his feet and his arm. Not to say Jameis Winston can't, because I think it's going to be a spectacular display. Two of the best players in the country, and maybe two, you know, one or two future Heisman winners in this game. But I just like Clemson's ability at home. We know, Chip, how hard it is to play there. And yeah. It may not matter that FSU has the better team and are, in fact, favored, which shocked me at this point by 3.5. I do think coming down that hill and touching Howard's Rock and, you know, and playing in that stadium in a very, very even game is going to make the difference for Clemson. So I'd like the Tigers.
He is Dennis Dodd. You can follow him on Twitter at DennisDoddCBS. My thanks very much, Dennis. I will let you get on your way. Be sure you check out all of the midseason information as along with Halfway Heisman, stories about Missouri. We got Jameis Winston feature coming Thursday. It's an exciting week in college football. For Dennis Dodd, I'm Chip Patterson. Thanks so much for listening.